welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. Here's what we have in store for you for this Friday, May 17th, 2013 edition.
Tonight.
And you are about to see the first ever real laser battle right here between...
All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Top story headline. Military says no presidential authorization needed to quell, quote, civil disturbances. Now, just to put this in context, a civil disturbance can be something as something like peaceful protesters, Occupy Wall Street, anti-abortionists, people such as that, and they can call the military to do those kind of things. Now, will they? I'm not saying they will, but they can under this new document. So let's take a look at the document here. A recent Department of Defense instruction alters the U.S. code applying to the military's involvement in domestic law enforcement by allowing U.S. troops to quell civil disturbances domestically without presidential authorization. Now, if we can pull up the actual document itself, I want people to see this. If you go to the document and go down to page 16, you'll find the text that's here. Paul Joseph Watson also provided it in his article. In extraordinary emergency circumstances where prior authorization by the president is impossible, meaning they call the president, the phone rang one time, they hung it back up, and duly constituted local authorities are unable to control the situation to engage temporarily in activities that are necessary to quell large-scale, unexpected civil disturbances. Now, I'm pretty sure everybody's seen those movies, you know, the Situation Room movies, and the president is sitting in there with the general, and the general's like, hey, we got to go bomb this country. We got to launch our nukes or whatever. The president's like, I don't know. Well, under this, you know, the general come and smack the president out the way. Hey, we're launching our nukes. And that's pretty much what we're looking at, just the complete unaccountability of this administration, and not just Obama, because I'm not blaming everything on him, but just think about this. That, you know, the military can bypass the president and just do whatever they want, just like Obama can do anything he wants to do with NDAA and all these other unconstitutional things. We think about Hurricane Katrina, the gun confiscation. We talk about Boston, Watertown, and the door-to-door, get-out-of-your-house things. I mean, as unconstitutional as those things were, there was somebody who could point and say, hey, this guy gave me this order. Now it's just like they don't even have to be accountable to the president. It's a very scary and serious situation. Moving on, Ways and Means Committee Chairman, U.S. tax system rotten at core. I'm pretty sure he was just saying what everybody was thinking. In an opening statement on Friday, during a hearing into IRS persecution of Tea Party and constitutionalist groups, Ways and Means Committee Chairman Dave Camp said, trimming a few branches will not solve the problem when the roots of the tree have gone rotten. Under this administration, the IRS has abused its power to tax and destroy the faith of the American people. The scale of it and the length of time, this was a pattern. This was a culture of discrimination where it was okay to go after conservative groups, Camp told CNBC. Now, this just goes into a larger block of IRS news that we have, and we do have plenty. Let's take a look at our next article. Second top IRS official resigns over scandal 1 month before scheduled to retire. Now, I just want to point out, this is the same IRS. We've seen recently the lady who was in charge of the IRS at the time that they were going after these tea parties and so forth. She moved on to a different cabinet, I guess you would say, within the IRS. And now you have the other guy who came and stepped down, and you got this guy. Everybody's retiring. Nobody wants to be held accountable. You know, the lady who was there, she's gone on now, and now she has her deputy taking the fall, just like Eric Holder has his deputy taking the fall in the AP scandal. I think they need to just stop calling it the deputy and just call him the fall guy, because that's what you're going to be if you're the deputy. That's what everybody's doing. But going back to the article, let's take a look. Joseph Grant, head of the Tax Exempt and Government Entities Division of the IRS, said on Thursday he was leaving the agency immediately. Grant's resignation came just 1 day after acting IRS Commissioner Steve Miller stepped down. Also on Thursday, President Obama appointed a new acting commissioner for the IRS, Daniel Werfel. As acting commissioner, Mr. Werfel will lead the efforts to ensure the IRS implements new safeguards to restore the public trust and administers the tax code with fairness and integrity. Well, I might as well call the guy welfare, because that's pretty much what everybody's going to end up on. Speaker of the House, John Boehner, is calling for blood, saying, my question isn't who is going to resign. who is going to jail over this scandal. And I don't agree with John Boehner on everything, but I definitely agree with him on that one. Who's going to jail? I'm tired of people passing the buck, going up on C-SPAN. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Sir, can you answer this question? I don't know. I don't know if I can answer your question, sir. And now we have this situation where people are either stepping down or I don't know. And it just keeps going on. I don't know why these people stay in the positions that they're in when they can't be held accountable. And when you question on anything, they just say, I don't know. And that's perfectly acceptable. People need to, at very least, be removed from their positions. No pension pays, no nothing. If not, go to prison. So let's go on to our next one. Now, this is something, one of the latest additions to this nightly news broadcast. David Knight said, hey, have you seen this? This congressman is asking IRS why pro-life groups were questioned about the content of their prayers. And here's this guy's answer.
Their question specifically asked from the IRS to the Coalition for Life of Iowa, quote, please detail the content of the members of your organization's prayers. Would that be an appropriate question to a 501c3 applicant? The content of one's prayers.
It pains me to say I can't speak to that one either, but that's an...
You don't know whether or not that would be an appropriate question to ask an applicant?
Speaking outside of this case, which I don't know anything about, it would surprise me that that question was asked.
So we see this incredible overreach of Big Brother, even beyond 1984, where they want to know what you pray. And speaking of just things that are just completely out there, we're going to take a look now at a special piece Alex Jones did. And this is tying into the whole Second Amendment, what they don't want you to have. This is a actual laser battle on a smaller scale, but it's a laser battle, something the guy's been working on. It's a great piece, and I want you to watch it right now.
For all of recorded history, humans have used projectile weapons, bows and arrows, spears, firearms. This is a 50 caliber Barrett rifle produced in Tennessee in the United States of America. And it's formidable. But in the 21st century, it's all about lasers. And you are about to see the first ever real laser battle right here between clone stormtroopers and the Geonosians. Because truth is stranger than fiction. We're going to examine the real world of directed energy weapons. The story of directed energy weapons, lasers, particle beams, microwaves, starts back in the mist of prehistory. But we do know when gunpowder was first invented and used more than 2,800 years ago in what is China today. The Tang Dynasty invented gunpowder and used it to vanquish their enemies. Powered systems have dominated worldwide warfare and self-defense for at least the last 500 years. But by the mid-20th century, it was clear that the age of the laser was upon us. And if the age of the laser had a birthplace, it was Colorado and Nikola Tesla's Death Ray Lab. You can say unequivocally that the father of directed energy weapons and other systems is Nikola Tesla. If you visit the Mid-America Science Museum outside Hot Springs, Arkansas, you can see the most powerful above-ground Tesla coil in the world.
All right, help me count. 3, 2, 1.
Oh. During the 1960s and 70s, there was massive classified research into directed energy for weapons purposes. And by the 1980s, they had given it an official name, the Star Wars program, the Strategic Defense Initiative, to supposedly shoot down missiles fired from Russia as they came into Europe and the United States. When it emerged that the system wasn't very effective at defense and was really an offensive weapon, the program was officially defunded. Of course, that was only for public consumption. The government now admits they actually increased funding for the research. And now they're rolling out military systems to fire lightning bolts at people's cars, plasma rays, microwave guns to attack peaceful protesters. Drones are being shot down by the Navy with particle beams. For more than three decades, huge DC-10 aircraft have been converted to carry giant chemical lasers that can shoot missiles out of the sky and fry tanks and infantry on the ground. And that now leads us to the reason you're watching today, a real live Star Wars laser battle carried out on a much smaller scale. When A New Hope was released in 1977, it blew audiences away worldwide. Who could imagine humans piloting spacecraft in laser battles? Little did they know, NASA was already deploying unmanned drones in space and testing laser weapon systems, now partially declassified. The truth is, many of the technologies that we see demonstrated in the movie Star Wars, the special effects, have actually been a reality for more than three decades. The footage you're seeing is time-lapse. It took about a minute using the white-blue laser to ignite the figurines, and about 2 minutes to do it with the green laser. A laser, only about 9.5 inches long, is able to vaporize Lego figurines. Imagine the power of the systems mounted in DC-10s. Imagine the power of some of the new backpack-powered lasers that are actually being deployed by the Pentagon. Imagine the power of lasers mounted on Humvees that police are now training to use against the American people. And then you understand why we have a Second Amendment. It is there as a counterbalance against a corrupt, tyrannical government. In North Korea, only the government has weapon systems. In Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia, only the government was armed. And we see an arms race by the U.S. government and other governments with billions of bullets, thousands of armored vehicles, training to take on the American people, returning veterans, gun owners, conservatives, libertarians. So next time you see them saying, how dare you have a semi-auto, you don't need that for duck hunting. It's important to understand it's not for duck hunting, and that the balance of power between the people and the government is getting wider and wider. And that's why our government servants are now behaving like belligerent thugs and trying to dominate the people. The Second Amendment is an example of liberty worldwide and is a serious check and balance against the establishment. Individuals who've committed no crime are less of a threat than organized government. And now is the time to realize that. And that's the moral of this story. Not only do the American people and the people of the world deserve access to firearms to protect themselves from government and common street criminals, we also deserve access to weaponized lasers to protect ourselves, our families, our country, and our world. So please pass this video on to your friends and family so they can understand the true meaning of the Second Amendment. visit InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. When you're on the site, you can also tune in 24 hours a day to my daily radio broadcast. There's also a free iPhone app to listen to the syndicated radio show when and where you want.
Another fun feast here at the InfoWar. And if anybody watches that and say, hey, those guys have too much free time on their hands, that was done over a period of 6 months in people's spare time of their spare time. They barely got to do that. Like Alex says, we have several projects that are just waiting to be done just because we don't have the time, the staff to do them. Not complaining, just that's just how that particular project turned out, and happy to see some fun stuff going on at the InfoWar. Now we'll move on to some Bilderberg news. Now, if you guys don't know, the Bilderberg Conference is where a lot of your big wigs, movers and shakers here in the, you know, I guess planet Earth, get together and they plot. These are the alleged, you know, five guys in the smoking room. You guys have probably heard people talk about that. This is them, the Bilderberg Group. And you can speculate as to what they do in those conferences. My point is that they actually go there. So regardless of what they plot or don't plot, if they go there and play canasta or whatever else, those people are there together in that one room, or in that one building, I should say. Now, speaking of getting into that building, we have this article, Private Security Forced to Subject Bilderberg Protesters to Pat-Downs. Police Liaison Officer Steve Lee said, the pat-downs are a requirement for the Grove Hotel itself. I wonder if that's a year-round policy. I seriously doubt it. We will not be as intrusive as currently being used at the airports. And an article goes on to say, the good news for the Hertfordshire Constabulary is that the media and protesters alike will be allowed inside the front entrance of the Grove Hotel. The bad news is that those who choose not to subject themselves to the groping hands of these private security guards are not allowed into the Grove premises. So that's where you are. Yeah, protesters, come on out. Come on out and film all the big wigs moving and shaking inside this hotel. But we're going to have to, wiggle it just a little bit. And they're saying it's not going to be as bad as the hotel, as they do at the airports. But I'm pretty sure these are going to be some big, tough guys. President Obama has praised them previously. I think the organization's called G4S or GS4, something like that. And Obama's saying, hey, these guys are A-OK, so I'm pretty sure they may be a little rough to handle. So anyway, Alex will be there, hopefully. Hopefully he doesn't get, molested by these gentlemen and the rest of the InfoWars crew. And you yourself, if you plan to be there as well, hope to see you there. Well, Alex will hope to see you there. Now let's move on to our last article of the night. Robbers shove homeowner in closet where he kept his guns. Now this falls into the epic fail category of the week, so let's go ahead and run that video.
Police say three men stormed into a house, forcing the homeowner into a closet. But that's where he gained the upper hand.
They confronted the homeowner, assaulted him briefly, and they put him in a closet.
They didn't look in the closet because that's where he keeps his guns. Police were told he thought the men had left after a few minutes. He went downstairs armed just in case.
He actually confronted one of the suspects who was still at his home, and shots were exchanged.
The homeowner wasn't injured. One of the suspects was.
And I just love that video. You can go and watch the full thing on InfoWars.com. And the lady points out at the end that the guy will not be charged. The gentleman who was the homeowner will not be charged. Well, I guess it's something important to point out, but it just bothers me. We kind of live in a society where people, I have to ask, will the guy be subjected to criminal punishment for guarding himself in his own home? And the guy was armed responsibly. He shot at, and at least hit one of the guys. Other guys ran off, but the guy who was hit went to the hospital. So congratulations to you, armed citizen, and I bet the guys won't come over there trying that again. Now let's move on to our quote of the day. This is from Samuel Adams. How strangely will the tools of the tyrant pervert the plain meaning of words? That by Samuel Adams. Now coming back after this break, I'll be joined by Kristen Megan. She is a Air Force veteran, also a outspoken advocate against geoengineering. She's going to tell us about her experiences and what she has coming up next.
Authoritarian control freaks throughout history have sought to make populations dependent. The United Nations openly has talked about using food as a weapon against the third world and the industrialized first world. State Department Memorandum 200, developed by Henry Kissinger, called for destroying the food capacity, not just of the United States, but every country in the world, so they could use food scarcity as a political weapon of control. Just a decade ago, less than 10 million Americans were on food stamps. 4 years ago, it was 25 million. It's now reached almost 50 million. Socialist health care is designed to destroy our health care system. The establishment wants you to be a bunch of cowardly, dumbed-down people who can't stand up for yourselves. That's why they're rushing to try to restrict citizens owning firearms. Because since the early 1990s, gun ownership has gone straight up, while violent crime has gone straight down by 49%. And globalist-controlled strongholds like Chicago and New York, where they've taken the citizens' guns, have the highest crime rates in the world. What am I getting at here? The system doesn't want you to be self-sufficient. That's why I promote the fact that you should go out, buy firearms, and go take lessons and learn how to use them. I want you to stand up for your birthright of liberty and freedom. During a serious meltdown, they're going to tell you, hey, you want food? Turn in your guns. And that's why we need to put the globalists in check. And then finally bring them to checkmate by being self-sufficient, by being prepared, by having a garden, by learning how to can your own foods, by having friends and family and community that will stand together. But at the heart of that is having quality, storable foods. And that's why I went out more than a decade ago and found the very best food company to be my sponsor, eFoods Direct. They're the company that I personally use for my emergency food storage preparation, whether it be for natural disasters or the tyranny that is intensifying. So give them a call, 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the weekly and monthly specials. And there's a lot of other reasons. Privacy, you name it. When you want high-quality storable foods, you go to the experts, and that's eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the full list of specials.
The two-week food supply provides one adult with 81 servings of healthy, delicious, storable food for 14 days.
The one-month food supply provides 192 servings for 28 days.
And then there's the one-month family food pack. It will change the way you look at the food in your pantry. Every time you eat one of these meals, you are eating healthy, delicious food and saving a lot of money.
The three-month food supply, 576 servings of storable food for 91 days.
And the one-year food supply will provide you with 2,304 servings of healthy, delicious, storable food for one full year.
Your meals are as delicious and nutritious tonight as they'll be in 25 years.
Bottom line, there's a bunch of specials at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can also call them at the toll-free number on your screen, and they can send you a catalog with all the specials detailed and tell you about the weekly and monthly specials that they're always running. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find all the specials or call the toll-free number. And so in closing, when you buy from eFoodsDirect.com, you are supporting the radio broadcast, the nightly news, the magazine, the films, and everything we're doing. Because we're not like MSNBC or Media Matters that get government and corporate funding to bring down America and bring in tyranny. We are funded by our sponsors and you, the viewers and listeners, that support them. Again, that's eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633. And when you're also visiting InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, you can click on the banners to take you to the weekly and monthly specials. It's like the Hank Williams Jr. song, "A Country Boy Can Survive," because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run because these boys were raised on shotguns. Well, there aren't really a lot of good old boys left anymore, are there? And those that are out there are demonized and are enemy number one by Homeland Security. And good old boys come in all shapes, colors, and sizes. They're people that aren't chumps who understand that they're going to take care of their family and that nobody else is. They're people that understand that if somebody else is taking care of them, that makes them a slave. And that the government doesn't want you dependent because they want to build a great future for you. They want to get you dependent so they can social engineer us. So the answer is get self-sufficient, become men again, and tell the New World Order to go straight to hell. Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com and eFoods Direct, our great sponsor.
and welcome back. Our guest tonight is Kristen Megan. She is an Air Force veteran and an advocate exposing geoengineering. Here's actually a video to give you a little bit more of her background.
Well, part of my job in bioenvironmental engineering was to approve hazardous materials that came on the base. I sat at a computer and I approved those hazardous materials on base and tied them to a process and a building. So when I started approving what is called an Air Force Form 3952, the approval of hazardous materials, and I started seeing barium, aluminum oxide, and strontium come on the base from a contractor whose name was not listed, which was not normal, I started to realize that those crazy tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists might not be so crazy. I lived about less than a mile behind the flight line at Tinker Air Force Base, Oklahoma, in Oklahoma City. And due to my background as an industrial hygienist and an environmental specialist, I conducted soil grid sampling and grain sampling. Those of you who may not be too privy to chemistry, you know that there's natural elements occurring in Earth. Aluminum is one of them. However, barium, radioactive, and strontium are not. So I conducted those samples and saw limits in my community that would make your head spin. And I started to realize that those peers within my professional community that were trying to wake those of us in the military up were right.
And joining us now is Kristen Megan. Thanks for joining us, Kristen.
Well, hello.
All right, Kristen, now we just watched that video of you at the Atlanta Festival. I believe it was the Atlanta Music Liberty Fest. Can you tell us what was going on out there and about what time was that? When was that?
It was back in April. Actually, there's a group of organizers. I'm sure you might have heard about Paul Fest, you know, back last August. Well, there's a lot of liberty-minded, truth-minded events around the country that are put on randomly by different people. And they're all focused around speakers and musicians, and it's just a way for people to get together and kind of network and share information. So you'll have, you know, people there from different musical acts to, you know, the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth will show up. So, yeah, I was a speaker at that event. I think it was in early April down in Atlanta.
Now, I'm sure as a veteran, you got a lot of people, they respect you for your service, but they're kind of curious as to, you know, why is she an authority on things such as geoengineering, and what would you say to those people?
Well, some people are familiar with my background. You know, I was in the Air Force 9 years, and my job was called bioenvironmental engineering. So if you're kind of familiar with OSHA is and what the EPA is, our job was to kind of track all the exposures to both military and civilian personnel on the bases, both home and deployed. Part of that is to know all the constituents or chemicals that are used on base. So we would use a system where if you were ordering materials or chemicals, it went through a computer system. And we would have to tie those materials to a building or a task known as like a case file. And the reason for that was knowing what was brought on base, we could then say, oh, whoa, this is hazardous. These people need to be in respirators or, you know, they need gloves. So it was basically tracking employee exposures. So I wasn't really familiar with what geoengineering chemtrails were at the time. So you maybe we'll go into a little bit more, but that's how I got familiar with the constituents that were used, is because I would have to tie these materials to a task. And this particular constituents that were used in geoengineering were not tied to a task.
Exactly. And I saw something that was very interesting to me. You talked about Tinker Air Force Base in that clip we just showed a second ago. And it's very interesting to me because I live in the state of Oklahoma. I've been there. My dad visits there regularly as an Air Force veteran. And I'm just curious, you know, can you tell us again the story, you know, your experience at the Tinker Air Force Base and how you came across some of this information?
Yeah, of course, I went into the military after 9/11, trying to be all gung-ho and supporting my country. And, you know, I went in around 2001, 2002. And I think it was around 2006 I actually watched Terror Storm. Mm-hmm. And that kind of turned my world upside down. I know in an attempt to debunk that, I kind of stumbled upon other things and it kind of changed my mindset what was going on. Well, one of the things I stumbled upon was people talking about these chemtrails or geoengineering and you know, population control and all these crazy theories. And I started to kind of go on different forums and hear people that claim to be whistleblowers who were pilots that didn't want to be named. And at the time, I started getting more information. People started describing the aircraft that we had on base. People started describing that they were unmarked. And also the materials, again, I spoke before, when materials would come on base, they would be tied to a case file. And I remember a time seeing certain constituents coming on base that were kind of, they weren't classified, but they didn't quite make sense. The name of the contractor wasn't identified. It was very vague, and it wasn't tied to a process. It was just a number. And that wasn't normal, but I just figured it was a contractor. So I started doing my own investigation. With all this information, I started to gather on knowing, hey, these people are describing the aircraft, the J-STARS we had on base, and we're a perfect base. We take aircraft down apart down to the last screw. It's a maintenance base. And before those airplanes roll out, they fly unmarked and they're white. Mm-hmm. So I thought, this is just too convenient. Somebody is just making this up because they're familiar with this information. Well, I lived about a mile behind the flight line at Tinker Air Force Base. So I started conducting my old soil grid sampling. I lived in a relatively new neighborhood, so I knew, okay, anytime someone knows how to do soil sampling, you should always go and get the background soil sampling in your area. Mm-hmm. Different regions of the country have higher radiation in the background, different type of soil. So I got the local information from my county, and I had the parameters to bump it against. And what was coming back was high PNAs, which are polynuclear aromatic materials that are naturally occurring in Earth, but it's usually associated to something man-made when it's that high, unless you had bad backfill. Right. I was getting barium, aluminum, and even though some of these items are naturally occurring in Earth, the compounds that they came back in were all industrialized, so this wasn't like something that would just be normal. So this kind of freaked me out, and I thought, all right, well, this isn't a Superfund site. These contaminants shouldn't be in the soil. So I just kind of
Well, at that point, let me ask you just to interrupt for just 1 second. At that point when you said these materials shouldn't be in the soil, what was your original thought? What was your conclusion as the original source?
Well, again, because I had that background information to bump it up against and knowing how strict the EPA was in Illinois, I knew it wasn't bad backfill. There's nothing going on in my neighborhood. I immediately figured it was some sort of contaminant coming from the base. Now, the problem was, at the time, you know, it's like, this is huge information. People are going to think I'm crazy. So I started kind of to tell some of my peers who were like, all right, well, yeah, I've heard of it, but let's not go there, you know.
About what time was this? What year?
This was around 2007, 2008.
Okay.
Yep. Soon after that, I transferred to the other depot maintenance base, which is in Warner Robins, Georgia. There also, I started seeing the same things, not as far as the base approving those chemicals, but the soil samples were coming back the same. And then I started to do rain sampling and soil sampling just at, you know, I travel a lot. So I've even done them here in Chicago. And the same materials, different parameters, but if you were to do soil sampling, like say you're a contractor and you're installing a new underground storage tank, before you can dispose of that, the dirt that you just removed, you have to, each state has their own form that they have to fill out to determine if the soil is contaminated because it has to be hauled off as special waste. Well, what I was finding in my soil would have been considered special waste. So the government should have done something. And I've contacted EPA in my region, and they have nothing to say about it.
They had nothing to say. The EPA, no. So you're a veteran. You were active duty at the time?
Correct.
So you're active duty personnel in the United States military. You contact the EPA, and you already said your title. You're very familiar with these type of works, and they just did not care.
Exactly. You know, I'm not just an average citizen. Part of my job was to do industrial hygiene and environmental quality assessments. So, no, they just brushed it off. And actually, it wasn't until I separated from the military, for some reason, I stayed government, and I worked for one of the veterans hospitals around here. And during an assessment, I ran across an EPA worker, and he mentioned actually an article he had read or something from Alex about all the cameras here in Chicago.
Oh, yes.
And I'm thinking, an EPA assessor knows about Alex Jones. Wow. You know, I was biting at my nails waiting for this whole thing to get over to kind of pull him aside. We ended up talking for 2 hours, and he had pulled out a camera, because during the inspection they take lots of pictures. He showed me about 500 photos of, you know, different lines in the sky he had deemed chemtrails. I guess he's been following it religiously, and he had told me he's brought it up to his director, and his directors just totally say, we're not going there, we're not talking about it. And he's actually, he has felt reprised because he's worked there at the time 26 plus years, and they still had him as a field assessor. When this person retires, you know, I still keep in contact with him. He's gonna come out rogue and start talking about some stuff, you know, so he can collect his retirement. You know, that's his choice to just wait it out. But to hear someone from the inside getting the same scrutiny that I experienced as a sister, you know, federal employee, is just appalling.
Exactly. Now, Kristen, our time is short. I just want to ask you a few more questions. Going back to when you first discovered this, back when you were active duty, and you try to, you know, share this view with your fellow people there in the military, what was the reaction to that? And also some of the alternative news that may have been going on at the time, how receptive was the military to that?
Well, around 2007, 2008, there was only one other person that was stationed with me there that was totally aligned but afraid to speak. And I'm known as a loudmouth. So, but actually, as progressing, even as of recent, some people still in my career field in bioenvironmental engineering are fully awake. I mean, they're huge chemtrail followers. You know, they don't want to reveal their identity. They're still in, but they're saying, you know, that they believe it. They see some of the same stuff I do. And actually, after that speech kind of got a lot of attention, people at Tinker Air Force Base were told not to contact me or talk to me. Yeah, via any government communication. So I still talk to people there. And if I were to email them, they were to delete and not reply.
All right, Kristen, just a rapid fire session here. So when people see these aerosols hanging around in the sky and they say, oh, those are just contrails, those are supposed to be there, what would you say to that person?
I would say look closely. A lot of people that are the disinformation trolls will tell you there's contrail science. But I'd say look, pay attention. If there's a lot and they don't, you know, it's a nice warm day and they're dissipating horizontally and they're staying and they're going from lines to designs to clouds. I mean, I really would pay attention and contact your local officials and demand answers. I mean, yes, there are contrails, but the thing is when you see an actual plane flying right next to another plane that is spraying contrails and you see it turning on and turning off, to me, it's an answer for itself.
Yeah, it's so obvious. We've been showing some B-roll footage while you were talking there, and you can see a plane is flying, nothing's come out of it, and then all of a sudden it just starts dumping all this this chaff into the sky. Now, Kristen, what are your final thoughts?
Well, my final thoughts are, you know, here in my area, west suburbs of Chicago, actually, we just got sprayed with BTK to kill moths, which if you're familiar with the makeup and chemistry, look it up. It has a similar protein makeup as anthrax. And they actually sent out an alert to let people know this was being sprayed. So my thing is you're admitting you're spraying a biohazard on us, but you'll ignore chemtrails. Yes. I think if enough people educate themselves and demand answers, not to say it's going to stop immediately, but if enough people get angry, this can't be avoided.
Exactly. We just had a guest on the other day. He made an app for chemtrails or contrails, whatever you want to call them.
Skyder, I believe.
Yeah, Skyder Alert. And it's selling very well from what I understand. Definitely happy for him. Now, Chris, I want to ask you one final question. I'm sure you've probably heard about Adam Kokesh and his armed march on Washington, D.C. So what are your thoughts about that? Would you participate in that if you could?
I'm actually going to be there filming. So I do a lot of different media contributing, so I'll be covering for the next news network. But more power to people. I mean, I'd say civil disobedience is what we need. I think if we outnumber the bad police, I think this can have a good ending. But here's the thing. A lot of them are probably going to be veterans, and people will say, what are you doing? Those people signed up to die for their country in the military. So why is it suddenly unlawful when they're willing to die for the country still upholding their oaths in civilian clothes? I don't see what the big hoopla is, but I think it's an awesome thing.
All right, so just to clarify to our viewers who may not be aware of this is going to be an armed march in Washington, D.C., July 4th. People will be carrying loaded long guns strapped to their backs. And, Kristen, you support that?
I do. I think that there's nothing wrong with carrying a weapon. We drive vehicles every day which are more dangerous than carrying pills in our purses. So I just think people have to go in there knowing the consequences. And Adam has made it clear if you are arrested to just, you know, take what's coming towards you because this is civil disobedience. And my fear is there will be provocateurs. But, again, you know, Oath Keepers is a big thing, you know. you're upholding your oath, regardless if you're just a civilian, you're protecting the constitutional rights. And I don't see why anyone can say anything negative about this, because we need our weapons to protect ourselves from those unlawful people.
Great. Now, Kristen, how can people get a hold of you and keep up with your information?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Kristen Megan. Find me on Facebook at Kristen Megan. My website is sugardecoded.com with a T. And also, you can just send me an email at kristenmegan@gmail.com. I'm a huge I advocate for veterans' rights, so if you have any information you want to share related to chemtrails or just any questions, please feel free to contact me.
All right, great. Kristen Megan, a real oath keeper, definitely interested in following your works and also those of Adam Kokesh. I believe Alex is going to try to make it out there. I may try to see if I can go with him. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen July 4th. So, Kristen Megan, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right. There she goes, a good oath keeper. I'm glad to see people actually keeping their oath, people who will not just march with guys with, like Adam Kokesh, but people who will go out and fight things that are not popular. Like she said when she started back in 2007, 2008, you know, it wasn't popular to talk about this stuff, especially on the military basis. But more and more, as she talks to more and more people, people are waking up. And that's what we need people to do, not just in the military, but in the police and everywhere else. If you're just a normal, everyday citizen, just get this information out to people. And a great way to do that is prisonplanet.tv. You can get yourself a 15-day free trial. You can share your username and password with up to 11 different people. And odds are you're not going to have 11 different people on there at all times. So just go and put it on your Facebook page. Hey, go check out my Prison Planet, and different people will log in at different times and get the information. And also, particularly geoengineering and chemtrails, you can check out our pack right here. We're going to show you here in a second. There it is right there. The chemtrails combo pack. What in the world are they spraying and why in the world are they spraying? Two great films, probably the best things we offer concerning chemtrails. You can see it right there for $34.90, and that's available at the InfoWars store. Well, that's it for this edition of the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson, and I'll see you next time.
In the month of June.
What we've learned is you cannot hide behind an
Our viewers have demanded it, so now you're gonna get it. More pro Second Amendment gun shows in the month of June.
What we've learned is you cannot hide behind an I-beam when there's a 50 cal present.
And Arms, 50 Cal Ammo Review, and more. Coming in the month of June to the InfoWar.
The important thing about the Pro One filter today is that the material we use for removing fluoride and other heavy metals now will remove the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid. There's no other fluoride reduction filter out there that will remove that type of fluoride. And it's extremely important because today we're hearing more and more cities are using that form of fluoride.
We've been having medication forced on us through the water system for quite a while. Most people don't realize it. Most people don't realize the negative effects of fluoride.
There's a wide range of health effects that are attributed to fluoride.
Bottom line, why should somebody get this new Pro One ProPure filter?
The reason to buy the Pro One, it's an all-in-one filter. It's convenient, easy to use. It doesn't require the add-on fluoride filter. And in addition, this filter removes the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid.
Hey Hello, this is Hank Hill, and I'm telling you what, you need to listen to Alex Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Infowars.com.
Judge, what is the secret of the universe?
Infowars.com.